Let's have a listen to Martine Anderson.
As the protesting women, as the hunger strikers proclaimed, in the face of all that pointless British brutality, above which we rose with such dignity, Chucky Arla! Chucky Arla! Chucky Arla!
That's the message from Martine Anderson, the Sinn Féin MEP, to the British government at the hunger strike commemoration at the weekend. She also said, "You will not be closing our roads. You will not be blocking our bridges." Is this an expression of Republican frustration or an upping of the rhetoric by Sinn Féin? The newsletter's deputy editor, Ben Laurie, with us this morning. Morning to you, Ben.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts, Ben?
In answer to your question, is it an upping of the rhetoric? It is, yes. It's a very significant upping of the rhetoric. It's an upping of the rhetoric that's been happening gradually for a long time. Martina Anderson is one of the most blunt and outspoken figures in the party, and she's been very blunt and outspoken in Europe. And I think it shows that there's going to be huge division, whatever happens in the coming years in Northern Ireland. And there's going to be really serious division if we have a no-deal Brexit. And I think the chances now of a no-deal Brexit at the end of October are about 50%.
Is this not the type of language that you would expect from someone in Sinn Féin at a hunger strike commemoration?
It is. And they've been obviously attending hunger strike commemorations since the hunger strikes. But it's the level of aggression in tone that is different. It's the crowd roaring at Chucky Arla. It's the reemergence of a lot of things, not just in Sinn Féin, by the way. Even senior figures in the Irish government having said that they might well see Irish unity in their lifetime. That's the difference. I mean, think back to 1998 and let's say the 10 years after that. The constitutional question seemed to be settled, and that was probably, in hindsight, a difficult place for Republicans to be. And they don't think that anymore. And there's a lot of anger around Brexit in any event. There's a lot of things going on that are nothing to do with Brexit that happened before Brexit, like Scotland beginning to get more and more detached from the UK. But the anger that is around Brexit, which has really magnified things, is shared across these islands. I mean, Scottish nationalists are the same. The Liberal Democrats are furious. The Alliance Party is passionately anti-Brexit. Lots of figures in the Irish government who have nothing to do with Republicans. So it's into that mix that there is an upping of the ante in tone. And I would imagine, I don't know the internal machinations of Sinn Féin, but I would imagine it's approved that yesterday's speech and that it was going to take that form. And the crowd loved it, as we heard from your clip.
And look, if you are saying, Ben, that that language should be expected from Sinn Féin, then why should unionists be worried?
I'm saying that that language should be expected from Sinn Féin, but when we look back in the years after the Belfast Agreement, there was this period when everything seemed so quiet. And now you can see how difficult that was for Sinn Féin. Now they see something coming that is changing things. And the thing that is most likely to change things that Martina Anderson was referencing there was no deal. And this ambiguous language about we're not going to accept the closure of our roads and that kind of thing. And we're really close to this now. Boris Johnson I'm only one of many observers, but if you'd asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said Boris Johnson will get into power and immediately backpedal and be conciliatory and realise he doesn't have the parliamentary numbers and try to push through a variation on the withdrawal agreement after all the tough rhetoric. He isn't doing that. He's had very aggressive changes in his cabinet, and he's making crystal clear that the UK is leaving on October 31st. lots of people like me thought that there'd be a fudge and that they'd end up going to the EU for a delay. And he can't come back from this talk. There's no return from this talk unless it's the most spectacular and humiliating climb down, in which case he'll be destroyed by Brexiteers. So on October 31st, it is likely that we're leaving the EU now, and it's probably 50-50 within that that there'll be no deal. And that is going to cause huge political, the economic disruption across the UK. There's going to be huge political disruption, and Sinn Féin is staking its view.
Martin Anderson and indeed Sinn Féin know rightly, Ben, that Boris Johnson has made it clear that they are not in any way supporting a hard border. Boris Johnson has said that repeatedly since he became Prime Minister. So why is Martin Anderson in this presumably vetted speech, in that it would have been written and checked? Why did she say, you will not be closing our roads, you will not be blocking our bridges, when she knows that the British Prime Minister has said he has no intention of doing that?
I would have thought a lot of things. One of the things that is trying to be done there is to say to the British government, you say you're not introducing a hard border, we're going to hold you to it. I mean, the British government has been taken a very easy route in this, which is that it won't impose any checks. But there are, you know, we've all now had a few years to think about it. There are quite serious problems that flow from that, and the EU protecting its single market, and they're trying to push it over to the Irish Republic. But there are massive perils in this for unionists too. The British government has made as one of its highest priorities, even in the sort of things that it's talking about in the event of no deal, placating the Irish government. In other words, the Irish government's very tough line on this has worked, because it's forced, forced the British into saying, whatever we'll do, we won't have a border, the Irish land border won't have a hard land border. There was the Brexit MEP who was at the border the other week saying it's ridiculous. But then this throws up other issues, such as, is it going to be easier for Britain in a no-deal scenario just to force through some sort of major border in the Irish Sea? Is it going to be easier for the British government just in the event of no deal, because it's going to have so many things to deal with, the ports and companies announcing that there'll be some companies announcing the UK, opposition parties within the UK going nuts, Scottish nationalists going nuts. Is the easiest thing going to be the British government just imposing something like the backstop before the backstop would have ever come in? And maybe what Sinn Féin is doing, I mean, I don't know, I can only observe Republicans from outside, but maybe what they're doing is saying that is what you're going to do. Your top priority in this is going to be keeping that Irish border open, regardless of what the law says.
There is already reaction to this on the phones this morning, 0330 80 55 55. Let's hear more of what the Sinn Féin MEP, Martin Anderson, had to say.
You will not be closing our roads. You will not be dividing the families of Strabane and Lifford from each other. When you say you don't want a hard border in Ireland, we don't believe you. Why don't we believe you? Because you have lied your way through every land and every people you have occupied and oppressed. And you can lie all you want, for we know the truth. And the truth is, your days in Ireland are numbered. As the prisoners, as the blanket men, as the protesting women, as the hunger strikers proclaimed, in the face of all that pointless British brutality, above which we rose with such dignity. Chucky Arlad!
Well, let's get your reaction to this today on the phones. If you are a unionist in Northern Ireland, do you feel that is Sinn Féin sending out a message to you that you will live in this country with your identity protected? Or, indeed, if you're a nationalist living here, how do you feel about this? Are you proud that Martina Anderson and what she is saying? Is she speaking for you, is the question. 03030 80 55 55. Let's start off with Bill. Morning, Bill.
Morning.
Go ahead, Bill.
I think that Sinn Féin could stop this Brexit thing momentarily if they gave up their seats and allowed Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil to take their place. Then they would, Ireland would have a say in the British government, a say in Brexit. Sinn Féin have this siege of the GPO building mentality. They just don't want to lose by stupidity.
And Fra. Morning, Fra.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I found it very interesting what Martina Anderson had to say. I feel it brings several strands of Sinn Féin policy all together. If you remember, I mean, that's emotional language, but it's a very emotive day for the families and for Sinn Féin and for the people who were involved in the hunger strike. The hunger strike led to the rise of Sinn Féin in the political arena. We all know Bobby Sands was elected the first MP. He was like an Irish Republican prisoner incarcerated in a British jail in Irish soil who was returned to the British Parliament. He had more votes than Margaret Thatcher. But Martina Anderson is an MEP. She is stating Sinn Féin policy around Remain and No Hard Borders.
So Sinn Féin and Martina Anderson are also part, though, of an entity in Northern Ireland, Fra, who say that they want devolution restored in Northern Ireland. And they know that that requires them to work with their partners in a future government, the DUP. Does the language and the tone of that really do anything to bringing an agreement closer in Northern Ireland?
Well, Stephen, what I think happened yesterday was you're witnessing a Sinn Féin gathering with the broader Republican community and family. A lot of that, what we heard yesterday, is Sinn Féin policy. It's out in the public domain.
But if there were to be, if there were, Fra, to be a United Ireland at any stage in the future, Sinn Féin have, over recent weeks, months and years, tried to say to unionists that they will be welcome in Northern Ireland, that they can live harmoniously here, that we can all live harmoniously together in a future United Ireland. Does it sound like that from that speech?
Well, I think what we witnessed yesterday is the Republican rhetoric. And now it's for the Republican base. So you had a Republican rally for Republicans. You will have...
No, they know. They knew that would be published wider than that. Of course,
yes,
they did.
Absolutely. Yes. If you're asking me, is there a double message? Are they talking and reinforcing the political Republican narrative to the political Republican base? That's basically what that was, with an extension around the likes of No Hard Border or Tina Anderson stating that the roads won't be closed. This is a message both to reinforcement to the EU of Sinn Féin policy on Brexit and also to Boris Johnson going forward. But there will be separate discussions. There will be a discussion between the Republican leadership and the Republican base, Republican leadership, wider society, Republican leadership, civic unionism. You know, they're different narratives based on the same form of reconciliation. You mightn't like what was said yesterday. A lot of people mightn't like what was said. But at least, you know, you're hearing a defined, definitive truth from Sinn Féin.
Was there any need for one of the most well-known Republican slogans, Chucky Arlad, to be shouted three times?
Stephen, I think it's quite obvious, and it's becoming more obvious and more apparent, that there will be a United Ireland. And as part of that, I mean, that those particular comments seem to follow on from the line that these are my words, not Martina Anderson's, that the British colonial project is coming to an end. And that basically our day will come whenever the British leave Ireland in some form of an agreed withdrawal going forward into a united Ireland.
Ben?
Yeah, there's another important aspect to this. I talked about Brexit. Personally, when I've been on shows like this, when I've been on other things, probably the thing that I've been talking most about is legacy. And I think this has gradually caught, I don't want to say unionists by surprise, it's gradually caught non-Republicans, maybe even moderate nationalists by surprise. In recent years, quite apart from Brexit, Republican commemorations rhetoric around the Troubles has changed. Now, like what you were saying about the hunger strikes, of course, they were always at Easter commemorations. They were always at these events. But what they've now been able to do, and this is nothing short of a crisis for those of us who think it was a terrorist campaign, and to use the word terrorist, and even that's being airbrushed out, and it's a sort of contentious word, and the neutral thing is to talk about conflict. This is what they have managed to do is they have demonized what Britain did. They've grossly exaggerated collusion. Martina Anderson was doing it there yesterday. Patently and obviously, I would say, exaggerated collusion. If there'd been any significant collusion, IRA people would have been wiped out in a single night or over a matter of nights. They could have easily done it. British data, the forces had the intelligence. And this has worked brilliantly because nobody is defending what happened here during the Troubles. Nobody is saying the British state played well. There's no unionist rhetoric. There's no rallies you can attend. You can now to say soldiers shouldn't be prosecuted, maybe from time to time. There's no culture. There's no way of articulating that actually the British state prevented civil war here. Now, that's only a viewpoint that I and many other people, I believe most people here have. And younger people who don't remember the Troubles are hearing all this, and Sinn Féin know that they're really onto a winner on this. They're hearing all this about a murderous British state. And this is a crisis. If anyone out there is thinking who worked in the security forces that this is all going to go away, it's not going to go away.
And yet,
it's
Martina Anderson.
It's worse.
Well, you say.
And Martina Anderson. That was the other thing that was happening yesterday.
What do you mean it's going to get worse?
We're only in the foothills of this. The Irish government is running around disgracefully. Took the Hooded Men case to the point of humiliation in the European Court of Human Rights at Strasbourg. It had been warned by the court that it would lose, that the court would not find against Britain, would not designate it torture. Ireland did that anyway as a symbolic thing, standing shoulder to shoulder with Republicans. It brought all these legacy cases like Pat Finucane before the Council of Europe, again to humiliate Britain. Does anyone listening to this, again, who takes the viewpoint that I take, think that the British government is going to counter this? That the British government is going to go to Donald Trump, as it could easily do, because he's not a fan of terrorism, and John Bolton, his hardline advisor, and show them pictures of Bloody Friday and the massacres in the Irish. They're not. So this is a profound crisis. We did a series in it in the newsletter. We're the only media outlet to have done this on what we call the legacy scandal.
A couple of things, Ben. Martina Anderson also said in this speech, she was sending a message basically to the DUP, And she said that they will when the British government dumps them, that Sinn Féin will be there, and the nationalist Republican community. She said, "We will work with you as equals."
It was a very clever
as equals. She said,
"It was a clever section of the speech where she what she was trying to do was saying the aggression is towards the British government, a British government that's going to betray you." And we're going to work with you. And it was an effective and clever section of the speech because, as I was saying at the beginning of this program, there's a real danger that the British government is going to do something here that unionists are not going to like. And remember that Boris Johnson, who came over to the DUP conference in November of last year and talked in the most scathing terms about the withdrawal agreement, then went on to vote for it in the third of the votes. That was, I think, in March. So he actually made what he did even worse. If he had sort of been a little bit opposed to the withdrawal agreement, which includes the backstop, and then voted for it, it wouldn't have been so bad. But he was the guy who said how dreadful it was. So I think what Sinn Féin are doing there is saying, we're really aggressive. If you think that there's going to be a hard border, there's going to be trouble.
And on the Chucky Arlaa, being shouted three times, if Arlene Foster's student shouted no surrender three times, would Sinn Féin react in this way, as you are?
But again, I can only give you a unionist perspective on this. The hypocrisy is laughable. It's just laughable. If Arlene Foster says anything out of place, if she even when she tried once to be nice about Michelle O'Neill and talked about her being blonde and stuff, she was trying to say something pleasant about her appearance, and it was gauche, it was the wrong thing. She was ridiculed for that. If she says anything, forget saying no surrender or any hardline rhetoric, she's demonized and mocked and ridiculed. It's hypocrisy beyond parody.
Did you suggest earlier that Sinn Féin had suggested that there would be a return to violence? I've never heard them say that.
No. And I wasn't. They have not. I don't think they've said that.
They have not.
And to be fair, they have not said that. But I think that they're making clear, you know, there are other things that can happen. Was it somebody in People Before Profit who talked about civil disobedience? There isn't going to be a departure on October the 31st without a deal, without massive political fallout. Forget that economists disagree on how severe the economic fallout is going to be. There's going to be massive political fallout across Britain and Ireland in the event of no deal. And needless to say, in Northern Ireland, it's going to be bitter in terms of the rhetoric. Let's hope it's only in terms of the rhetoric.
Let me speak to George in Guildford, 03030 80 55 55. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, that man that's talking to you, Mr. Larry, with the Telegraph, he's a
newsletter from the newsletter.
We're going to be lambs to the slaughter. And it's all right, you keep saying that Sinn Féin, the way they're curting us, about their, what's the word, equality, and there's three words. And I told John O'Dowd on the Crawley programme, they don't mean one word of it. It's just like somebody trying to curt you in and saying, oh, we'll be nice to you. If we ever needed Ireland, we'll all be one. Stephen, if you believe that...
Well, we asked Sinn Féin, George, so that you know, to come on today so that they could reach out to you, so that they could explain to you what they have meant. They don't want to do that.
Look, you're stupid if you take that in. That's bunkum. Whenever we get a United Ireland, if ever we get it, we're going to be lambs to the slaughter. And you're saying they're not saying that violence had happened again. I can tell you, and I have told people around our country, and people agree with me, we're talking about legacies of the past. The past is going to be nothing like what the future is going to be. We're going to... Sure, look, Adam said, the Protestants get out over the IRC back to Scotland again. You hold out the olive leaf and make people believe with their mouth open and watering at the mouth, oh, this will be great. But whenever you get them in, it's a different thing. The bitterness of that woman is unbelievable. And I don't know, I'm not sure about this statistic, but they say that her father was a Protestant.
I don't know about that.
Let's
not start speculating on the radio about something that we both don't know about. What's that got to do with it?
Her father is a Protestant. I remember her saying that to me, by the way.
You listen to Ben Larry. He's on the ball, and he knows how we stand. And he can talk a lot better about the night, Jan. Good for you, Mr. Larry.
Are you frightened for your unionist identity, George?
If I was living in a Roman Catholic era, I would be frightened. You know what's going to happen? I said to the wife there before I come in here, I read the books about what happened down south 100 years ago. Well, do you see if we have a united Ireland, the same is going to happen to us in the north as happened to the Roman Catholics in the south? And there's no doubt about it.
There's no suggestion whatsoever that people will be driven out. Come on. Malachy O'Doherty listening to this. Malachy, this is the result of some of that speech from Martina Anderson. And yet, as Ben Lawry said, she was playing to a Republican base about the hunger strikes. What do you expect? You could argue, Malachy.
Well, yes, what do you expect? I think both the DUP and Sinn Féin are playing this very badly. They are both faced with a paradox. The paradox is that both of them being minority parties now, each in anticipation of a border poll has to appeal beyond its base to succeed in a border poll. And Sinn Féin cannot appeal beyond its base with rhetoric like Martina was coming out with, you know. Similarly, the DUP cannot appeal beyond its base and win over Catholics, small and nationalists by cozying up to Boris Johnson and threatening a no-deal Brexit. So they are both, you know, in that each has to anticipate now the real question of a border poll. Each is playing it completely the wrong way. They are both playing towards what will inevitably lead to deeper sectarian division. And it's calamitous, and it's stupid, and it's entirely impractical, even in their own interests, because they cannot, neither can win a border poll by the methods that they're using at present.
So how could Martina Anderson have done this differently?
Well,
and why should she have done it differently? So she's saying Britain's days in Ireland are numbered. That's what Sinn Féin's all about. So there's no surprise there. Is it about the tone, or what was it that was... What was it about this
speech? It was the stridency of it. It was the implied threat. It was the romanticism about the hunger strikes. It was, as Ben says, the complete demonization of Britain. You know, I mean, in one line she says, for instance, you judge how civilized a state is by the way it treats its prisoners. How did the IRA treat its prisoners? They took people down to the border, tied them up with wire and shot them in the head. You know, I mean, Martina's argument is so transparently weak, you know, that anybody who knows anything about the history of the Troubles knows that she is exaggerating absurdly, that she is romanticising the IRA in a way. I mean, she is forgetting, for instance, that most people in the Catholic community rejected the IRA at the time. I mean, it's written out of history that the majority of Catholics were voting for the SDLP throughout the entire period of the Troubles. Until the IRA called off its campaign, Sinn Féin was not able to mobilise a vote that would give it a majority within the National
Assembly. Malachy, she's hardly going to go through the history of the IRA, warts and all, to a Republican hunger strike commemoration, is she?
No, of course not. Of course not.
And she talked about the women prisoners in Armagh Jail. She talked about the strip searching of women. She talked about the punishment and indignity suffered, especially the women in Armagh, who demanded political status along with their comrades in the H blocks. This is her; these are her words, not mine. Do you really expect her to talk about the female victims of the IRA?
No, I don't. I don't, obviously. But I do think that Ben's anxiety about people not understanding this is maybe overstated as well, because the argument that she makes is so transparently weak. We also don't know that Joe McDonnell, who, by the way, was in the same class as me at school, you know, and I had no notion then that he was a Republican or would ever be. But Joe, we've no notion that Joe would have supported the peace process. We've no notion that there's any ideological continuity between the hunger strikers and modern Sinn Féin. There may not be. Bobby Sands didn't die for a negotiated settlement. He died as a dyed in the wool, convinced physical force Republican, determined to win by force of arms.
Okay.
And he may well, as others have done, have regarded the compromises that Adams made as a sellout.
Let me pause there, and we'll get reaction from our callers this morning.